Welcome to PAR Media 2020 LLC's A Conversation with My Dad. Today's topic is happiness. And today our guest is none other than my son, Tyrone James Stamps. And today we'll be discussing happiness. And we'll start out with a little of the definition of happiness, so well-being, joy, and contentment. And we want to take you on a journey as to discuss four key aspects of happiness. First, your earliest memories or feelings of happiness. Second, knowing how to create happiness in your life. And third, knowing how to share it. And then lastly, and most importantly, I think, knowing how to prevent being denied of your happiness. So, I'll open it up to you, Tyrone, and let you give your perspective on happiness.
Well, thanks for that introduction. My perspective of happiness is more of from a standpoint of it being influenced by something, right? Just trying to be in a place to where am I making myself happy, or to certain conditions and other things like that make me happy? That was one of the things that I struggle with, and one of the main reasons why I reached out to you, because it was really heavily on my mind about what is happiness, right? Is it more of I was struggling with being happy consistently. But when I thought about it, it was always something contingent, right? It was always, well, this happens, now I feel happy. Because so many times I say to myself, I just want to be happy. But that's, again, depending on some type of influence. And I think throughout that conversation that you and I had, that dialogue that we had, we kind of arrived to something that you really helped me out with, and I'm sure you'll get to a little later. But as far as happiness, what I've come to is understanding that it's really influential.
Yes, I think we talked about happiness being a constant changing emotion versus a destination,
right,
that you can reside in for an extended period of time. When you contrast that with fulfillment, which is something that could be a target that you arrive at, and you can say, I've reached this plateau or this goal, now I feel fulfilled. Versus happiness, as you go through the course of life, there are going to be constant external stimuli that can impact your happiness on a personal level, professional level, or spiritual level. And that goes back to, okay, you're constantly creating an environment that will allow you to flourish and be happy.
And that's what I was kind of coming to an understanding, that it's an emotional process.
Right.
Versus reaching that point to where you are fulfilled. And so many times, you know, you go, like I said earlier, you go through life and you're trying to get to that place where you just want to feel fulfilled, but you confuse it with being happy. Right.
Right.
Which is that conditional emotional feeling that's contingent upon something else or someone else or an event or something of that nature.
You mentioned something early on about influences, and I want to come back to that, being influenced by something. So let's talk about the genesis of happiness, because I truly believe it's something that can be nurtured early on, the experience. If you think about your earliest memories of being happy, was it something you did or something someone did for you or something you watch someone else do for someone else?
I think my earliest memory of happiness is naturally as a child, mm-hmm. right? You think about everything that people did for you, mm-hmm. right? You have someone giving you a quarter, right? Someone giving you a hug, mm-hmm. someone giving you a toy. So that feeling, gratification, right, can be then misconstrued and paralleled with happiness when in actuality, I don't know, it could be fulfillment. But that emotional state of someone doing something for me at a young age, that built up that emotion which made me feel happy.
Yeah, I remember my early, I guess my early days of happiness were in the family environments where everyone was joyful, and if I had to track it to something, it was always November and December, Thanksgiving holidays and Christmas holidays. Families were coming together. It was when you saw the most of your extended family. Thanksgiving holiday and Christmas holiday. There was an exchange of joy, giving thanks, not just the gifts, but I watched the relationships of family members who hadn't seen each other together come together. So there was this element of something for me. People were doing something for me, as well as watching people do something for each other. And one of the things that I reflect back on, happiness is tied to the presence of someone that makes you feel good. Being in the presence. Let's talk about that for a moment. Being in the presence of happiness.
So back to your earlier statement about happiness, eventually you grew into, I personally grew into what you just mentioned. But my earliest, as a child, mm-hmm. you really don't know. Your brain is developed and can't really understand that. So it's
right.
something that you receive that make you know. As I got older and I can attach different feelings and emotions to this word happiness, naturally, like you said, around holidays, you know, November and December, you say, okay, you get family together and you just want to see people. And it influences that emotion, mm-hmm. right? So I eventually progressed to that. But in the very beginning, it was just, can I get some candy, a quarter, a hug, yeah. a kiss on the cheek, yeah. something of that nature. Yeah. Now, and I'm sorry, what were we asking now?
This whole point of presence. The whole point of, for me, it became, you know, being in the presence of someone that made you feel joyful, or being in the presence of witnessing an exchange of joy. That made me, when I reflect back on it, that mm-hmm. made me feel happy. Just witnessing the exchange of joy between two loving people who had material meaning to each other in life.
Right, right. Now, again, that is influential, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, some people, and I'm just speaking for myself, some mm-hmm. people just have that, I don't know if it's a gene, I don't know if it's DNA, it's just built into them to where they get gratitude and get fulfilled from seeing others that are happy. They get gratitude and fulfilled from seeing others that are happy, which then in turn, you start to develop and transition and understand the meaning of life. Like I said before, you go from that younger adolescent state or the infant state to me, me, me. And then your brain develops and you understand life a little bit more and you get to see, oh, I can give this same feeling to others. Does that make sense?
Yep. Got it. So let's talk a little bit about, as we traverse through life, knowing how to create happiness in your life. There are the three levels of happiness. They say there's pleasure, passion, and purpose. What are the things after we leave the nest, the village, and we go out into the world and try to discover who we are and what our purpose in life is? Life happens, as they say, when you were planning something else. And we're presented with all of these different types of events on our journey. And in the midst of those events, as we're bombarded with this external stimuli, in the midst of those events, we find ourselves trying to create, and I'm going to use a popular term now, bubbles. We try to create a bubble of happiness, right? Bubbles of happiness within a relationship, bubbles of happiness as far as seeking professional achievement, and then on a spiritual level, am I happy and content with my relationship with my higher calling, my higher being? Let's talk a little bit about creating happiness and some of the ways you've done that.
I think when you talk about creating happiness from pleasure, I think that starts with taking time to get to know yourself and understanding what do you like to do, right? Because we associate different acts and deeds of what we like or passion, and then we turn it into happiness and pleasure, right? So for me, it's writing. Right. That's my pleasure. That brings me to my happy space in my bubble. I can sit and write and create all day long. That brings me joy. And equally as passion is that equal passion to that is seeing others happy, seeing a smile on others' face. I tell people all the time, I have the biggest pom poms in the world. If you give me a reason to shake them for you, I shake them for you all day long. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. So things like that, when it comes to pleasure and creating happiness, it could transition into your other point. Hey, is that my purpose? Right? Is that why I'm here? Because you think about a lot of things that is going on in the world is give me, give me, give me. Right? But I think the real question that we really need to contemplate and ask ourselves as far as purpose is, what are we giving? What are we giving to others? And that transitions into the spiritual aspect that you talked about as well.
Okay. How do you determine the pleasure aspect of it? Let me restate that. Where does the pleasure aspect of happiness come in? I like what you said about the first step is taking time to get to know yourself and what fulfills you and makes you happy. And it sounds like creative, your creative side, when you're in that creative bubble that works. The second area was cheering for others and sharing in the success of others. But when you step back and look at it at a macro level, happiness and pleasure equates to what for Tyrone?
That magic word, fulfillment. Okay. It equates to fulfillment. Because you have an opportunity to, and I'm just speaking personally because not everyone shares the same views, but you have an opportunity to give that to someone, which in turn you're giving to yourself, right? So I don't use my creative juices just for myself. I use my creative juices to influence and help others, which in turn gives me happiness or fulfillment, pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I think about. I think about that, and it was another point that I wanted to make about your question was how do I get it, right? Sometimes I don't think about it in a me aspect. For whatever reason, I always focused, and this was a big part of my life, always focusing on ways to make others feel better, which is some of that is neglecting yourself, right? But eventually that turned into, okay, I can still make others happy, but also focus on me. And in a twisted way, it's pleasurable.
You just went right into the third topic, which was knowing how to share it. How do you develop a means to share it without suppressing it for yourself? And you just mentioned others. Let's talk about that. Give me, without names, give me two or three good examples of how you found fulfillment in sharing happiness with others. And delineate between, were you sharing happiness with others, creating happiness for others, or enabling happiness for others?
I think it all stems from the flip side of this coin. And you have happiness and pleasure and fulfillment. For me, it stemmed from all of the opposites, all of the negatives to that. All of the negative feelings that I felt or that were in my head, I never wanted others to feel that. So what I would do was focus on others and concentrate on others so I can help them always feel better, which I guess psychologically was me trying to help myself throughout the process. It gave me something to focus on to help others, which would take away from what I was feeling in that moment. So I guess that's my aspect of sharing that happiness as well as creating happiness for others, whether that be acts of service, whether that be me using my humor and making people laugh or lightening up a situation. There's so many different examples that as I think back that I can talk about. And when I really dive deep into it, it was really more of a coping mechanism, right? Me not wanting others to experience, again, the flip side to happiness, pleasure, and all that quote unquote good stuff.
And what was that flip side in one word? What would you call that?
Grief. I would call that grief. Because, again, it took me until my 30s to really sit down, or late 20s, to sit down with myself, look in the mirror, and have that moment to tell myself, it's okay. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to do stuff for yourself. I remember one time we were sitting around a table and we were, you know, November holiday, and we were talking about being thankful, this, that, and the third, and you were asking me what I wanted to focus on. And I remember actually sitting in a seat and saying, I want to focus on me.
Hmm.
And I felt okay saying that,
yeah,
you know, for the first time in a long time, because I used to always think selfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need it. That's kind of like refueling your body, right?
Right.
And hitting the reset button on your mind, body, spirit, whole nine yards.
So as I listen to you, this is interesting, as I listen to you talk about knowing how to share it. You mentioned the challenge was figuring out how to do it without neglecting yourself. Secondly, helping others avoid the feeling of grief was a driver. And then thirdly, you mentioned it was actually a coping mechanism for you. What I thought was beautiful was the outputs that you talked about as it relates to when you focused on helping others, focused on sharing it with others. You mentioned acts of service, humor, and you didn't mention what was the output for you. What did you get? That, you know, what did you get when you focused on sharing your happiness with others?
I got the fulfillment, the joy of seeing someone else smile.
Okay.
Right? It gave me an opportunity to...
So that leads you back to your pleasure, that level called... We talked about pleasure,
absolutely,
passion, and purpose. That led you back to... Is it pleasure or passion? Because it sounds like a little bit of both. It sounds like you have a real strong passion, right, for sharing happiness with others.
Absolutely.
You've got big pom-poms, as you call them.
Absolutely.
So this, your output was pleasure.
Absolutely.
And you link your pleasure to knowing how to share it with others.
Absolutely.
Having discovered how to have it yourself, you're like, oh my goodness, now I want to show others that you can share this. And there's a tremendous, what I love about happiness is the multiplier. It has a tremendous multiplier. Happiness is like the common cold. It's contagious.
It's influential.
And once you put it in the air, it just takes on. Just like the wrong person could come in the room and suck the air out. Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Willie will never make it. But Happy Harry, when Happy Harry shows up, that's my boy.
Absolutely.
Happy Harry.
Absolutely.
So you're linking the third component to pleasure. Now let's go to that fourth component. Knowing how to prevent or being denied your entitled happiness. Now this one for me was... it was a roller coaster, because as you know, I was raised in a very loving household with grandparents who just bestowed happiness on all of us and wanted us to do well and imposed the appropriate level of discipline, but heaped a huge abundance of joy, love, nourishment, and I carried that out into the world with me. And I was always viewed in their eyes of being able to do anything, being able to accomplish anything, and I could always get along with people. So then when you go into the workplace professionally, boom, there's Johnny Know-It-All. And he's just trying to sabotage every one of your proposals, presentations. He's trying to steal your territory. He's trying to...
Right? Oh, don't I know that.
Oh, my goodness. And then there's Sarah Suspect. She's like the same way as Johnny Know-It-All. So you got this whole world of people you deal with. You get in your car, and you have that moment of happiness. You turn on your favorite radio station. You're getting on your way home, and you listen to your smooth jazz, and you hit the door. And maybe you and your mate aren't clicking. It's like... Whoa, what's going on? Okay, I got these agents over here I'm dealing with. I got these agents over here I'm dealing with.
Suck the life out of you.
Why am I experiencing this? And then Sunday morning, sure enough, I get up, I go to church, visit my buddy at his church. I sit down. This is all in 1 week. I sit down and I'm thinking, whew, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. True story. And a lady comes up to me and she says, "You're in my seat." I give up. I'm like, excuse me? I didn't know there was assigned seating. I'm just trying to, you're in my seat. She said it again. I just got up. I moved one pew back. And I was like, okay, everybody's trying to deny me my happiness. So let's talk a little bit about how you've kind of built mechanisms, processes, levers, switches to avoid falling into that trap of having people deny you your happiness.
You know, I wish I could sit here and tell you some type of elaborate, genius answer and all that good stuff, but I'm going to be 100% honest with you. As I got older, I understood, mind my business. I mind my business, and the less hands in the pot, the less influences that are around me, the less Debbie Downers and all that other those individuals that you named, I keep them away from me. And for me, it works. And I know it sounds simple, but it's true, right? I don't run in certain circles. I keep my bubble. It's very small, has enough air in it for me and my companions to survive. And I don't let anyone burst it.
Okay, mind my business. I got that one. Mind my business. Now let's talk about your companions, because that's important. You've got your bubble. You're minding your business.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your companions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do people get inside of your bubble and qualify as a companion? Because I would imagine there's some very stringent criteria for being a companion in your bubble.
How do they get in? I'm a simple individual. Mm-hmm. I love authenticity. Mm. I appreciate people for who they are, good, bad, or indifferent. And I respect people for who they are, good, bad, or indifferent. And those individuals that are in my bubble, I can honestly say everyone that's in my bubble have never tried to be something that they're not, have never tried to put on Keep Up with the Joneses or any of that, which makes it real, it makes it authentic, and it makes it work for me. It's less stressful. I don't have to worry about anything. I know they're going to be them in certain situations, so I know what to expect in certain situations. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I want to continue and roll with that, it's totally up to me. But at least I know what I'm getting into because I know who they are.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now let's talk about being denied it outside your bubble and you can't control it. So now we're back to Suspect Sammy at the job.
Right.
Right. Your peer. Every time you go to the staff meeting, Suspect Sammy, stealing your work, claiming everything.
Right, right.
Golfing with everybody he can golf with.
Right.
Just to make sure he's looking good. Going out there, offering up your unit's resources to do things to make him look good.
Right.
Suspect Sammy is smothering your happiness 40 hours a week. How do you keep Suspect Sammy from denying you your happiness? Because, you know, you don't care if he's authentic or not. In fact, he's already showed his hand. He's probably the most authentic person you'll meet, right? Because he's transparent. You can read him like a clock.
Absolutely. So Suspect Sammy, I let be Suspect Sammy. Suspect Sammy can't take away from my happiness.
Okay.
Suspect Sammy can only be himself. And in the end, it's all going to come out. I'm comfortable with being true to myself. I'm comfortable with I've been in that situation plenty old times to where the example that you gave, work, ideals, everything's being stolen and utilize and say, oh, here's what I came up with, blah, blah, blah. So I just sit back. I sit back because once it's stolen and presented, a smart individual who double clicks on some information, you're not going to have the answers. Right?
Okay.
And guess what you're going to have to come back to? The man that's comfortable in his skin.
As my grandmama told me, information is power, young man. Go absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah, I try not to let them influence me in that nature. I let them, again, just be who they are, be comfortable. And you know me, I'm extremely observant. I may not say much in certain situations. That's because I'm always looking. My ears is always open. My antenna is always up. So once I see what type of individuals they are, I keep them at arm's length. And I give them enough rope to do whatever they choose to do with that rope. I give them all the rope that they need. Because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for what I'm responsible for. I can speak to whatever workload I need to speak to. I can speak to whatever performance I need to speak to. I can feel comfortable in who I am, because a lot of people get caught up on who they feel that they need to be in certain situations to please others. And that's a farce. They don't understand it. They don't know it. But it is. You're just hurting yourself. And I learned that at a young age, because, you know, growing up in an environment that we grew up in, you see it every day. Every day. So you get firsthand experience. So as you get older, you know how to stay away from it.
Okay, great. All right, I'm going to hit you with five quick ones.
Rapid fire.
Five quick ones. If happiness were a cloth, it would feel like...
the sun.
Happiness were a song, it would sound like...
easy like Sunday morning.
Happiness looks like
love.
Give me another one. That's good. That's good. Looks me. Like
happiness looks like me.
Hmm. If happiness came wrapped in a package, it would come in...
it's a good one.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
That's a good one.
My road to happiness is paved...
by my past influences.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard it. The conversation on happiness. The conversation on happiness. A conversation with my dad. I'm his, he's mine. Tyrone James Parnell and Tyrone James Stamp. Join us next week for another conversation on happiness with father and their children. A conversation on happiness. Par Media 2020 LLC. Until we chat again, may you find happiness and come to understand. And you said it well, son. Happiness looks like me. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.